We're just going to stay there for just a minute. I want you to read this out loud with me. Psalm 119, verse 165. You read it out loud with me, please. Y'all there? Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You say, man, what's he talking about tonight? He's had to read that as a... That's right, I put a waiver out there tonight, guys. I put a waiver out there tonight. That verse says, if we love God's word, and we all say we love God's word, amen, then there should be nothing in this book that offends us, amen. Now, that being said, I'll tell you right now, that book offends me all the time. It offends my flesh. It offends our flesh. The Spirit says, that's right, that's good, that's it. But the flesh says, I don't like that too much. That just doesn't really sit too well with me. And I hope that this is not one of those nights, but it might be. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you were not able to attend the meetings Monday or Tuesday night down in Columbus, you missed a treat. Amen. Dr. Gray and Dr. Gray, they were carrying on, boy. I tell you what, there was a time or two there I thought them boys were going to get excited and start preaching a little bit. And they made me want to get up and preach. That's what it really was. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about a subject that, quite honestly, in fundamental Baptist circles, has almost become taboo. In other words, not allowed to talk about it anymore. But that being said, it's still in the book. It's still in God's Word, and it needs to be. The fact that it's not talked about should tell us that it needs to be talked about even more than it is talked about. And I titled my message, My Son, Give Me Thine Heart. My Son, Give Me Thine Heart. I just want to show you a story here out of 1 Samuel in chapter 1 and verse 12. Look at verse 12. Oh boy, I blew that one already, didn't I? Sure did. Wrote the wrong verse down there. Well, the Lord didn't want me to put that in there, I guess. I'm sorry, 1 Samuel 2:12. We'll get wound up here in a minute. You just bear with me. 1 Samuel 2:12. Eli was the high priest of the day. The reason he was a high priest was he was a direct descendant of Aaron. During the time of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, God selected Moses and Aaron to be the leaders of the children of Israel. There were roughly, they say, between 2 to 3 million people coming out. So an entire nation of people was leaving the country of Egypt to go where God told them to go. And, of course, that didn't quite happen the way it's supposed to. Nonetheless, God chose Aaron as the high priest. And because of that, Aaron, his sons, his grandsons, all his descendants naturally fell into, it was kind of like a royalty type thing. If you were related, you were selected to be a high priest. That could be good or bad. If you got a godly son, great, godly high priest. You got an ungodly son, bad, ungodly high priest. And so that's where we pick up the story. Eli was a fairly godly high priest. Look at verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. Belial just means the devil. Okay, they were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And I'm not going to take time to look through all this. But skip down with me down to verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men, talking about the sons of Eli, was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. And it goes on to say there that Eli's sons would actually commit fornication right on the front steps of the temple as the people were coming in to worship God. You couldn't really defile God's temple any worse than what they were doing. Right, open wickedness right at the front of the church building, so to speak. Now let's see what Eli says about this. Look at verse 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil doings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. And if you skip down just a few lines, you'll see, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto the voice of their father, because the Lord would slay them. God had determined in his own mind, in his own heart, these two young men were rebellious and wicked. They were godless young men. They were never going to accept Christ, and therefore they were going to be killed. See, in the Old Testament, if you were a high priest in this day and age, they would actually, before the high priest would go in to the Holy of Holies, first of all, he was only in there one day a year, and he was to present a sacrifice for the sins, basically to cover the sins of the people, the nation of Israel, one time a year. He was only to be in that Holy of Holies, the very, very holiest area of the temple, or the tabernacle, I'm sorry. And so they would actually, they sewed little bells around the bottom of their robes. And then they tied a rope to the bottom of their foot. And the reason they did that is because when that high priest went into that holiest of holies area, if he had sin in his life, God struck him dead right now. Right now. Let me tell you what, that'd be an eye-opener, wouldn't it? If every time we walked in the back door of this church, we thought, man, if I go in there, if I got sin in my heart, I'm gonna die. That'd bring some revival in Bethel Baptist Church and many, many other churches across this land. But so what the people would do is, if the bells stopped ringing, they knew he was done. And they'd grab a hold of that rope and they'd haul him out. They weren't allowed in there, see. They would die too. And you say, well, where are we going with all this stuff? I'll tell you exactly where we're going. I want you to look now at the book of Proverbs, and we're going to stay in the book of Proverbs the rest of the night. That's not like 5 hours from now, by the way. It's just a little while. This may not apply to you tonight, but I think there's something here for just about everybody. If you read the book of Proverbs, this was written by Solomon. Most of it was written by Solomon. And you'll find these two words over and over and over again in the book of Proverbs. My son, my son, my son. And you'll find the phrase in there, my son, give me thine heart. Folks, you want to know what's wrong with America today? God does not have the hearts of families across this nation. And then we can take it a step further. Not only does God not have the hearts of families across this nation, dads and moms don't have the hearts of the children across this nation. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. This step up here is very apparent. Everybody sees this. Drunkenness, wickedness, homosexuality, gambling, prostitution, it's all pornography, it's all out there. We can all see that. We can openly see that God does not have the hearts of mankind. But I want to talk to you tonight about, my son, give me thine heart. And this tonight is mainly for parents that you still have kids at home. Or maybe you have grandkids that you have an influence on. You know, child rearing is what I was talking about. You don't hear messages on child rearing anymore. And you know why? Because people have shoved that off. And it's like we as a people, and I'm talking about me, everybody, we have this silent reaction. It's kind of like, preacher, you can talk about drinking. You can preach on gambling. You can even talk about smoking if you want to. But you leave my kid alone. It's kind of quiet in here. You leave my kid out of it. My wife has been working for the public school system for about the last year and a half, 2 years. And is so prevalent, especially in the public school system, is just because, and the only reason is because you deal a lot more with lost people than you do saved people. But the idea is, Johnny is always right, and the teacher is always wrong. The teacher is a stupid oaf, and Johnny gets everything he wants. Let me tell you something, folks. That might be okay for the world, but that has no place in God's house. That ought not to have any place in God's society. My son, give me thine heart. Parents, I want you to answer this question in your own mind tonight. Do you have the heart of your child tonight? You say, what are you talking about? You remember when, Dad, you remember you'd come home and that two-year-old would come running, or three-year-old, you hear the door shut and hear the click of the front door. Daddy, 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 Daddy's home, Daddy's home. Parents, do you still get that? You still get that? Or do you get, what do you want? Yeah. What do you want? When you call their name, do they say, what, Dad? What, Mom? Or do they say, yeah? That'll tell you whether or not you have your child's heart. That'll tell you. I want to give you just a couple of real quick points. I promise I spent all that time on the intro, and I won't spend a lot of time on the message. Parents, if I could teach you just a couple things. My kids are not grown by any means. They still got a long ways to go. But early on, I set down a couple of rules, and I've stood by those rules the whole time that we've been raising our kids. So far, so good. That doesn't mean they're going to turn out to be, you know, the first lady and the, you know, brain surgeon or whatever, but a couple things I know that work because it comes out of God's Word. We say God's the smartest being in the universe, right? He wrote this book, right? So wouldn't you think that God knows how to rear children better than we do? Yes. So are we willing to live by God's book? That's the question. Number one, parent, truly, truly love your child. You say, Brother Thompson, that's easy. We all love our kids. How much? How much? You remember when you first started to date your girlfriend? Aw. Get those warm and fuzzy feelings just thinking about it? When I dated my wife in Bible college, I wrote her 3 love letters a day. She wrote me 4. Remember that? 3 letters every day. Why? Because I couldn't wait to see her again. Couldn't wait to see her again. Just couldn't wait to be with her, to spend more time with her. How do you feel about your kids? Do you truly, truly, truly love your kids? I know you care about them. I know you want the best for them. Do you truly love them? Let me read a couple of thoughts I laid out here. Number one, parents, openly, openly love your children? When's the last time you said, love you, I love you? Let those words come out of the mouth, mom and dad. Son, I love you. Daughter, I love you. Don't wait your whole life until you're 80 years old and your son and daughter's 60 and you're on your best deathbed and say, well, you know I always loved you. That's not saying that you love them. You say, but you don't know how I grew up. Yes, I do, because a lot of us grew up that way. But that doesn't matter. Today is today. Yesterday was yesterday. You know, I'll just tell you this. I didn't have the greatest childhood in the whole world. I didn't have the worst, but I sure didn't have the greatest. But you know what? I had to come to a point in my life where I decided in my own heart that my past was not going to affect my child's future. Let me say that again. I had to decide in my life and my heart that my past was not going to affect my child's future. That's very important. Openly love your child. Well, I never got love as a child. You know, and I'm just saying this might be your thought. Brother Mark, you don't understand. I never got love as a child, so I don't do it. Then you should be doing it 10 times more than everybody else. If you didn't get loved, break through that fear and just spit the words out. I know there's that we get hang-ups because of child rearing. I understand all that stuff. Break through it and say, I don't care what happens, I'm going to do it. Just like this, okay? I have a fear of heights, but you know what? I'm 40, about to go 44 years old here in next month, and I'm telling you what, God is my witness, before I die, I'm jumping out of an airplane. I'm going to do her. I'm going skydiving. I might only get to do it once. But you never know, you know. Hey, I want to do it. I don't know why. I just have this inner drive that, you know, to break through that fear. I've never learned how to swim. I don't care. I have this deathly fear of getting eaten by a shark. So that's my big hang up, I guess, too. But openly love your children. Next, here's the big one. Here's the big one. If you want your kid to love you, pay attention to your child. Let me say it again really loud. Pay attention to your child. Let me show you where it starts. Mommy, mom, 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 mom. I know that's annoying. I know it is, but all you got to do is go, what, honey? What do you want? What do you need? Pay attention to your son or daughter. And you know what? Then that little one might just want to say, look at that little flower. Isn't that pretty? And we need to get to the point where we say, yes, honey, that is a beautiful flower. God made that. Instead of saying, I ain't got time for that junk. You know what? You do enough of that, mom and dad, and your child's going to say, you know what? They don't care about me. They don't have time for mom and dad. Or mom and dad don't have time for Johnny. Next, gain their heart. How do you gain their heart? Three thoughts. You'll never get the results you want from your child if you don't have their heart. Well, how do you do that? You'll never have their heart if you think that anything or anyone is more important than them. Do you know why you got married to the person that you did? Because you started to pay a whole lot of attention to that person. That's why you hooked up with that person. That's why they began to love you and you began to love them, is because you started to pay a lot of attention to each other. Your child's no different, mom and dad. Pay attention to your child. Also, you won't have their heart. This is a biggie. You won't have their heart if you're a hypocrite. Amen. You won't have your child's heart if you're a hypocrite. You live like the devil Monday through Saturday, and you come to church on Sunday and bless God, praise the Lord, everything's rosy. You know what? Your kid's going to say, what a hypocrite. He's a liar. She's a phony. She's a fake. I want to tell you a true story. I sold carpeting. Brother Dave, that's right, you know, in the minds of Americans, that's right in the same line as car sales, you know. We used to call ourselves carpet pigs, okay? I sold carpeting for many years, and I worked with a fella by the name of Hugh Warner. Hugh Warner was a great carpet salesman. He worked up at the Talmadge Carpet Barn and Tile House back in the day, if anybody of you ever remember that store. Hugh was a pretty ungodly fella. He left his Playboys laying around on his desk. When he had an extended lunch break, he would go out and get a couple of beers. He knew every dirty joke in the book and told them frequently, openly, had a vile mouth. But you know what? The second somebody brought up religion, you know what Hugh said? Oh, yeah, I'm a deacon down at such and such a Baptist church. Hugh Warner brought his little son David in to help him in the warehouse. David at the time was about 12 years old. Anybody know that name, David Warner, yet? You will in a minute. This is a true story, by the way. And little David used to come in there and help his dad. And I still remember to this day, Hugh Warner would begin to tell a filthy joke, and David Warner would get this look of disdain on his face. He'd just kind of look at his dad and kind of glare at him like, you know, basically like, I hate your guts. Well, he was about 12 years old at the time. About 10 years later, he started his own rock band. He saw his father, how his father lived, and decided he didn't want to be a hypocrite. So he was going to be who he was really going to be, and now his name is Marilyn Manson. So if you parents don't think that you have an effect on your kids, you're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. You'll never have your kid's heart if you're a hypocrite. And that's something that only you and God can settle. Not even the preacher, nobody, just you and God. Secondly, not only do you need to love your child, you need to teach your child and train your child. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Everybody knows this verse. And verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mom and Dad, I want to challenge you with a thought. That doesn't say that he's going to go out and live a life of sin and then come back. That says that he won't depart from it. Now, how do we train up a child in the way he should go? Through this book. If we're lax in certain areas, which I am, which you are, we all are in some area, it's going to show up in the life of our child. It's going to show up. Train up a child in the way it should go. Proper training of your child will alleviate a lot of problems in your life, in their life. Nobody wants to get a phone call at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, we got your kid down here in the clink because he was drinking and driving. But you know what? There's a way to fix that. You start when that little kid is 3 months old, 4 months old, 6 months old, a year old, 2 years old. You don't wait until a kid is 10, 11, 12 years old to try to teach them things. You've all but lost them at that age. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11 for a moment. Now, God just got done re-giving the law to the people. Deuteronomy means second law. The word Deuteronomy means second law. So he just re-told them the whole law all over again. And look at verse 18. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates. Why? That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto the fathers to give them. God has instructed us how to train up a child is through this book. Take scripture and plaster it all over your house. Now, I know that, ladies, you know, that sometimes that's not exactly, you know, politically correct or proper etiquette, you know. You know, you might have your $900 Thomas Kincaid, and then you got a piece of scripture verse. Well, that doesn't fit in with my, you know, my motif. That is a word, right? My motif. You know what? Let the motif be hanged. Let the look of the house be hanged, and let the kid turn out right. That's what I say. You know, I'm not here to live my life for me. And we ought not to be here to live our lives for ourselves. We ought to be here to live our lives for our children. They've got a lot rougher world to live in than I had when I was a little kid. And they need all the help they can get. And the only help they're going to get is going to come out of this book. And out of this church and from this preacher and from mom and dads, godly mom and dads, they're going to teach them something that pertains to God's word. Love your child. Teach your child. Train your child. Here comes the biggie. Discipline your child. Discipline your child. You want to know what the downfall of America was? When they rescinded the death penalty. When they rescinded the death penalty. I got this great idea. It sounds morbid. It sounds really sick. But I can balance the budget from here until the year 2500. And I'll tell you what you do. You get cable. You get the Justice Channel on cable. And you bring back the electric chair and you put it on their pay-per-view. $29.95. There's enough people that'd be sitting there going, ooh. They watch all them surgery channels and all the cops, you know, people getting smashed in cars. They'd sit there watching that. Ooh, look at him fry. Nasty. His eyes are bugging out of his head. It'd work. I know it's morbid, but it would work. You'd balance the budget right now. Be number one rated for 15 years, probably. Discipline your child, mom and dad. And I'm not talking about giving Johnny a timeout. Timeout doesn't work. You know how I know that? Because jail doesn't work. Jail is just timeout, right? Jail is timeout. It just happens to be a lot longer. And you don't get to be in your little bedroom anymore. You have to go away for a while. But timeout doesn't work, Mom. You know what works? Timeout doesn't work, Dad. You know what works? Turn to Proverbs chapter 13. I want you to read this out loud with me. Verse 24. Read this out loud with me. You ready? He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Hateth. Did you hear that, Mom and Dad? This isn't, don't shoot the messenger, okay? This isn't the preacher talking. This isn't something I made up. This is what God has laid down as a rule, as a way to train your child. The Bible says, Mom and Dad, if you don't spank your kids, you hate them. That is some tough talk. I know it is. But this is God talking, folks. This is not me. I didn't make this up. You say, I don't hate my kid, and I don't spank my kid, but I don't hate him. You know what? If I decided that I was never going to pay any attention to my wife anymore, and a year rolled by, and 5 years rolled by, and 10 years rolled by, you know what? Eventually, my wife would get the idea that I hate her. And sometimes your child wants you to pay attention to them, even if it's on the end of a paddle. Case in point. Now, this is just a real easy one. Sorry, Andrew. You happen to be the test subject. You're the flavor of the week. When Andrew was about 9 years old, he was giving me a bunch of trash about, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, and this is bad, you know, typical kid stuff. And I said, get upstairs, get cleaned up, we have to leave. I don't want to. I said, okay, if you don't want to do that, bend over that bed. Pooh! And then he started bawling, carrying on. I said, now, let's try it again. Go upstairs, get cleaned up, we have to leave. You know, and so on and on it goes. And so he went upstairs. About 7 or 8 minutes later, he comes downstairs. God is my witness. Do, 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 do. You know, I wanted to say, what's wrong with you, kid? Are you nuts? I just beat you. I didn't beat him. I paddled him. Okay, I paddled him on the behind. But I want to say, you got rocks in your head? I just paddled you. Why are you so happy? I can't explain that, but God says it works. God says it works. And what it's all about is, and you'll see this in today's society, your child wants to know where the line is. It's kind of, and don't take this the wrong way, young people, I don't mean this to demean you, but it's like when you have a dog. A dog wants to know where the fence is. Our dog, if we let him go, he'd be gone. A child, in the same way, and I know that's a terrible example. Don't hold it against me. But a child or a young person wants to know where the line is, what the rules are. What is today's society pervasive with? No rules. Do your own thing. Be your own boss. Kids are the boss. No fear. You see it plastered on everything. No limits. There's a clothing at Walmart called NOBO, N-O-B-O. And then you look underneath the tag and it means no boundaries. No rules, no limits. That's what all of society is about today. That's why the jails are more crowded than they've ever been. Because now you got little Johnny who was never paid any attention to, he was never corrected, never told what the rules were, never corrected when he broke the rule, except for given a big timeout. And the timeout just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Because Johnny never found out that there are laws. And it's saturated in our society today, folks. And the last place it should be is in God's house. We claim to go by God's laws. You know what? I seem to remember there was about 10 really, really big, important rules that God put in that book. And it wasn't the 10 guidelines. It wasn't the 10, you know, something to think overs. What were they called, the 10? Commandments. Commandments. He didn't say, this is just food for thought. He said, thou shalt not. God laid down the rules, and he expects us as moms and dads to lay down the rules. Grandma, grandpa, you have your grandkids come in, lay down some rules for them. Don't let them trash your house. Don't let them just run and do whatever they feel like doing. You say, well, then I got to deal with my daughter. Then deal with your daughter. Deal with your son. And say, you know, Johnny, I guess I should have paddled you more. Tell them the way it is. Be upfront about it. Discipline your child. Look at Proverbs 22:15. I'll be done in just a minute, I promise you. 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know what? Kids love being goofballs. We used to have this kid in our Christian school back down here in Wayne County there. His name was Matt, and he was in the eighth grade, and he loved to do this. He'd be sitting there, and Matt was a very intelligent kid. All of a sudden, he'd go, "Ee!" And then he would just go, he thought that was really hilarious. He just cracked himself up. That's foolishness. But it's in the, you know, it's a kid's way to be goofy, okay? Just accept it, guys, you know. Just live with it. Laugh about it and have a good time about it. But it says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You know, I could just about... When my kids were younger, I could just about talk them into anything I wanted to. Let's go body surfing. And me being the salesman, man, I'm a closer, you know. I close the deal. And they're like, yeah, we're not going body surfing. What are you, dumb? You know, and I do that just to mess with them. I know that's kind of evil too, but children are naturally foolish. They do crazy things, foolhardy things. But that rod of correction will take it away. Look at Proverbs 29, and this is where we're going to end, I promise you. Verse 15, the rod and reproof give what? Pain? Heartaches? A warped personality? That's what they teach you. They teach you if you paddle your kid, you're going to warp his personality. Dr. Spock came out with that. He was full of garbage, by the way. Amen. He doesn't know what he's talking about. God does. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Now, I want to talk to, in case if there's the military guy out there. I don't mean military. I mean, you'll understand what I'm saying. I met up with a guy that he was paddle happy. In other words, what? My son was chewing gum? Get him over here. I'll beat the living day. That's not what God's talking about. That's not loving a child. That's not disciplining a child. That's beating a child for your own kicks and your own jollies or whatever's messed up in your head. The rod and reproof. You see that? It's not about paddling the kid. That's part of it. The other part is the reproof. What is reproof? Reproof is, hey, that's wrong. Don't do that. Do this. That's what reproof means. Hey, this is wrong. Don't you be doing that. You're supposed to be doing this over here. That's all reproof means. So you don't go in and paddle the daylights out of them and that'll learn you. Yeah, that'll learn them that you want to beat them all the time or something. The rod and reproof. And all of that inside of lots of love and attention. Attention, attention, attention is the biggest thing. It's the biggest thing. There's a pastor in the Columbus area where we just were. I don't believe he's there anymore. I think he's moved out of the area. His name was S.M. Davis. Pastor of a very large church. His daughter, I think her name was Laura, got into a lot of trouble. Laura went to a Christian school, but she hung around with the wrong kids. On the weekends, Dad was off visiting and doing everything with the church work. Dad was working 80, 90, 100 hours a week with the church, and Dad was never home. Laura got into a lot of trouble. And one day, Laura wound up in jail. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Laura also wound up with a little baby. When all this came to light to the pastor, he realized the error of his ways, and he told his church, "Men, I'm taking 6 months' leave of absence. You fill the pulpit with deacons, evangelists, missionaries, whoever, I'm taking a 6-month leave of absence to be with my wife and my daughter. They began to be with their daughter Laura literally around the clock, 24/7. The pastor went to school with his daughter. The wife went into the bathroom with her, behind closed doors, obviously, but in the same room. They never left her presence. And on day 19, they were sitting in school, and she began to weep uncontrollably. And he had to escort her out of the room and said, "Honey, what's wrong?" And she said, "I didn't know you cared. I didn't know you cared. Mom and Dad, if I could give you one message tonight, our young people are dying and slipping off into hell because they don't think we care." Amen. "What do you mean? I give them everything they want." "No, you don't. You don't give them love and attention." John was a member of our church in Wayne County. Jonathan. His mother made $100,000 a year. His father made $100,000 a year. They both worked about 90 hours a week. Jonathan had everything he wanted. By the time he was 13 years old, he had his own 654 by 4. He had every shotgun you could name. Had everything except for what mattered, a mom and a dad. John's in a lot of trouble today. Love your kids. Discipline your kids. Train your kids. Let's pray. Lord, we love you tonight. We thank you, Father, for the time we've had together. Dear God, I pray now that something I've said tonight would sink into our hearts. Help us, Lord, to leave here different. Leave here changed. I know, Father, that maybe this wasn't for every single person. I pray that something I said would be able to reach out and touch every single heart tonight. Maybe you're here under the sound of my voice tonight and you'd say, "Brother Mark, I got to tell you, some of the things you said touched my heart. Pray for us, pray for our home. Here's my hand, pray for me." Anybody like that? Just slip it up, take it back down. Anybody like that? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, "Brother Thompson, I'm a young person here, and I don't feel like my mom and dad care about me. Would you pray for me?" Anybody like that? You'd be honest? Thank you. God bless you. Thank you, young person. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ cares about you. God cares about you. He loved you so much, he sent his only begotten son to die for your sins. And Bethel Baptist Church cares about you. While the piano plays, if you want to come and do business with God, you come. We're not going to sing. We just let the piano play. If you raise your hands, why don't you come and do business with God tonight?